Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins has substituted a new version of his teen curfew ordinance that places the power to declare three-hour snap curfews targeting specific areas solely in the hands of Chicago's police superintendent. Alderman, good morning. Do you have the votes?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Bob. I do. I had the votes to get it out of committee, and I have the votes to pass it on the floor. So we'll see what happens. There's a possibility that the opponents might use a parliamentary maneuver to delay today's vote, which is kind of a standard city council practice. But if they invoke that method, it's a one-time use only, and they can't use it a second time. So all it really does is kick the can down the road, as the saying goes, to the next meeting. And in that case, I will have the ability to force the vote at the next meeting. So we'll see. You know, it doesn't really accomplish anything. It just slows things down by, you know, 15 to 30 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, that happens. But I'm hoping it won't happen because my opponents who are against this measure are aware that we have a significant majority in the city council. So they may just let it go and get it over with. We'll see.
Could the mayor veto this?
He can. And he's been asked repeatedly by the press at numerous press conferences he's had on unrelated topics. It's come up, and he's never said that he would veto it. He's dodged that question. So I don't know if he's going to veto it or not. I'm not sure he knows. I think he hasn't really made that decision yet. He'll probably want to look at the strength of the roll call vote when it does pass and make his decision then, because actually to have a veto overridden it's embarrassing for a mayor. No mayor wants to risk that. So I don't think he would veto it if he thought that an override was a distinct possibility.
Well, summer's coming, and with the warm weather, there are potential problems. So the time to do something is now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I introduced this ordinance a year ago. It's not ideal that it's taken this long. Here we are in May, with June looming, and you know, we've already had two major teen takeover incidents in Streeterville, the neighborhood that I represent, and both of them involve gunfire and shooting and people being shot. So, you know, even one is too many, but we've had two bad ones so far, and I think the only thing that saved us from having a third was some bad weather that happened on a weekend when another trend might have occurred. So we're taking a chance right now, rolling the dice every nice weekend, and not sure what this weekend's going to be. I guess it's not going to be really that warm from what the forecast is now, but of course that could change.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it does, you know, we brace ourselves for that first weekend when temperatures are in the 70s and 80s. That's when it always gets really bad. And right now, we're just hoping for the best.
Well, as I've said many times here, yes, the mayor is right when he says, and this is what he said, if we don't give young people real activity, we don't help them find their purpose. We're just going to find ourselves in a tailspin. Yes, do that, but also do something else, like your curfew idea. And one of your colleagues in the council, Alderman Irvin, says this goes above and beyond the original proposal. So why is he against it now?
Yeah, Alderman Irvin was one of my co-sponsors of this ordinance. It was myself, Alderman Irvin, Alderman Dowell, the three lead sponsors. And we had stayed together throughout this entire controversial process. The three of us remained on the same page. And I was really proud of that. Right up until the last minute, we lost Alderman Irvin on one very minor point. I would argue that it's not that significant when you compare it to everything else. It involves the definition of advise and consent and consult versus actual decision-making authority.
Hmm.
The original ordinance had co-authority where, in order to declare a curfew, the deputy mayor of public safety, who is not a police officer, who is a civilian, had to agree and sign off on the decision along with the police superintendent. So basically two signatures required on the form in order for the order to be effective. I changed that at the last minute to one signature being the police superintendent himself, with the requirement that in order to make that decision, he has to consult with the deputy mayor, which he does anyway. And we're just codifying something that happens, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be enough because, you know, you can't have a non-sworn civilian who does not even work in the structure of the police department. You can't give that person police decision-making authority. You just can't do it. And so we got around that by making it an advise and consent position. And Alderman Irvin disagreed with that, and unfortunately, his disagreement was strong enough that he chose to withdraw his support for the ordinance at the last minute.
Well, I just hope you folks do something so that we are not hearing about and seeing street takeovers, young people drag racing in some of these areas of the city that are places where tourists like to be. And this hurts the image of the city, not just here, but everywhere. Before we let you go, Alderman, quickly, are you going to approve that deal today involving the parking meter lawsuit in Chicago?
Yeah, well, we're going to have a tough vote on that one. I haven't made up my mind 100% yet. I'm leaning towards voting yes on it simply because of the economics of it. Nobody wants to be on the record endorsing this parking meter deal. You know, in hindsight, it was one of the worst governmental decisions in history. So it's a tough choice. I'd much rather choose between going golfing and fishing than having to choose on how to vote on this. But, you know, the economics of this settlement are pretty solid. If we were to go to trial on this one, it's likely we would have lost. You know, I'll give credit to the Lightfoot administration for at least trying. They thought they might have found a loophole. The pandemic certainly wasn't something that the people who wrote the contract contemplated. Nobody, you know, predicted what a global pandemic, what its impact would be on parking meter revenue. That was just something that wasn't thought of. So Lightfoot's team thought they might have found something we could use against the company, and it didn't work. And here we are, stuck with the bill. Easily could have been several hundred million dollars. Mm-hmm. And as it is, it's only $15 million, so it's a small price to pay relative to what likely would have happened if we took this thing to court and lost before a judge. So we're doing the smart thing, but it doesn't feel good. You know, it's more money to this company that everybody loves to hate.
And more ticket agents to settle the parking meter lawsuit. More ticket agents means more motorists will get tickets, and that's never
right,
a popular
right. Of course,
stand.
It should be pointed out that we don't get money from the parking meters themselves when you pay them. The money for the tickets does go to the city, though. So that is a source of revenue that the city needs and requires and is going to get when the ticket agents are out there writing the tickets. That goes to the city, not the not the parking meter company.
Got it. Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins, appreciate the update. Have fun today.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We always do.